You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we're live at the American Century Championships in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Our coverage brought to you by State Line Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Ram, Buck Roofing, M&M Golf Cars, Sprint, of course, our friends, our Sprint guest line, and our good friends at American Century here as they have been the title sponsor for many, many years here. Great Kansas City company, and always great to be here and get a chance to talk to you with some of the greats of the games. Say games plural because there's many sports represented. Josh Beckett joins us here in the program. Josh, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Not bad. Not too bad a place to play, right?
Get no, out 62 and... degrees. You know, I live in San Antonio, Texas, so when I left there, it was like just shy of like 105, I think.
Right.
So get down here, you got 62 in the mornings. Gets up to about 80, but it's a pleasant 80. So, yeah, it's nice to be here.
It is kind of unique. Like, I think like 50, 52, something like that for overnight lows. It's kind of nice to have a little crisp fall break.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to open your windows at night. You don't need any AC. It's really a pleasant place to be this time of year.
You mentioned being from Texas, and that was a big deal when you first came into the game. I mean, you had a great career, all kinds of postseason success, and that kind of fades away. Then you're Josh Beckett, the guy who's done A, B, C, D at the big league level. But when you first come into the game, you're the next Nolan Ryan, the next Texas Fireballer. You know, the Roger Clemens, that there's a mystique that goes with that. And we've watched some of the guys. I think it was Jameson Taillon, I think, is a Texas guy. And when he came out, now he's, are you the next Josh Beckett? And that group of Texas hard-throwing pitchers, did you feel that in Texas? Or is that something that once you get drafted, that's what the rest of the game tells you about yourself?
Yeah, I think it's more like external stuff. I don't think it was anything I was ever really thinking about. I mean, obviously I looked up to guys like Roger Clemens and Nolan Ryan growing up. You know, just being from Texas, you know, Texas guys tend to kind of meld together anyway.
Sure.
You know, Roger and I are good buddies now, and we take golfing trips, and, you know, every time I see him, his wife Deb and my wife are good friends. So, you know, we all kind of stick together, but like, I didn't really feel too much of it. I think it was more external stuff.
I've always felt there are two places that everybody seems, if you're from it, you come together. It's the state of Texas. No matter where in the state of Texas, you're from Texas. And it's Brooklyn. And I don't know why that is, but everybody from Brooklyn, wherever you are, oh, you're from Brooklyn? No, there's a camaraderie there. One's a town, I get it, or a borough of a major city, and the other's a whole state.
Well, then you got the football deal with Pittsburgh, all the quarterbacks and stuff like that. So, yeah it's there's kind of some other deals.
When do you, as a baseball player, know that you're different? Like, when did you go, okay, wait a minute, I can really bring it. I've got stuff that the other kids don't have. When did that?
So I remember my mom and dad actually having this conversation similar to this, and my mom was just basically asking my dad, like, I mean, is he really good, or are we just his parents? You know what I mean? And I think my dad had to have a talk with my mom and be like, look, he's really good. I mean, he's – you know, there was obviously scouts there and stuff like that, but it was really between my freshman and sophomore year, my velocity just jumped up. I don't know, probably 7-8 miles an hour. And you know, I threw okay when I was a freshman. I mean, I was probably 82 to 86 maybe, you know, which was pretty good for a freshman. But then the summer between that and my sophomore year is when, I mean, I started touching 95, you know, and I was sitting in the 90s. And I mean, I don't know if it was just puberty or I don't really have a sign. I mean, I don't have anything that I can really point my finger at, like,
right,
this is what happened. You know, I loved baseball. You know, so I played it year round pretty much. My dad would not let me pitch during the summer. After I started throwing harder, he wouldn't let me pitch during the summer. He would hold me back, and I would just pitch during the regular season. So,
wow. And do you attribute that to, you know, to your longevity?
I think for health, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Because kids play so much now.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, you hear about these kids that are 14 years old having Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
That's not right. And you know what? That's not the kids' fault. That's our fault.
Right.
That's parents and coaches. That shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, that's because nowadays that's one of the things. Like, we've got a kid now. I'll ask you about being a top pick in the draft. And the pressure that comes with that, you know, the Royals, in our neck of the woods in Kansas City, we've watched Alex Gordon be the number two pick, and the pressure that comes with it. Mike Moustakas, number two, Eric Hosmer, number three. Bubba Starling's a local kid who went number five, who's trying to break in, and it's maybe starting to click right now. But one of the things, one of the knocks against Bubba was that he wasn't a Florida, Texas, or California kid that played baseball year-round. That knocked him. That dinged him. And they said, hey, he plays football, and he was recruited by Nebraska to play quarterback.
Wow.
In football, and then he was an AAU stud in basketball, and then he played baseball, which is what we hear a lot of people now say you need to do. But then when it comes draft time, Well, you know, he didn't play baseball all the time. It's going to take him longer.
Who cares? Joe Mauer was an All-American football player. Look at him. I mean, he ended up, you know, he's had a great career. I mean, I know his numbers probably aren't that great this year, but, I mean, I don't get that. If I had a son, I don't have a son. I have two daughters. If I had a son, he'd play all sports, every one of them. Yeah, football, basketball, all of them.
We're talking to Josh Beckett here in the program. Do you feel the pressure coming up through? Do you remember feeling it? And you were one of the few that comes through, hits, and goes. I mean, you didn't have – I mean, I know there
wasn't the ups
games.
And downs. Yeah.
Exactly.
There wasn't the ups and downs. You know what? I did feel the pressure. I think it's imperative to go in knowing what you're trying to do. And, you know, I felt like I did a good job. I felt like my dad did a good job of kind of preparing me for that. And basically it's that you don't want to be an A-ball. So, you know, you go there, you make friends, and there's nothing wrong with that, but your job is to get to Double-A.
Right.
And then your job after that is to get to Triple-A. Or, you know, with the Marlins, a lot of us just went straight from Double-A to the big leagues. Pretty much all the pitchers did. So.
Yeah.
But that was something my dad kind of trained me for. He's like, this is where you need to be, and this is where you're at. So you're just going to have to climb these ladders. And, you know, how you do that is you go out there and you execute pitches and, you know, get guys out.
I had a scout tell me that the process of a major league career is, one, you want to get to the big leagues. Two, you want to stay in the big leagues. Three, you want to get paid in the big leagues.
So you get to arbitration.
Right. And then four, you want to win.
Yeah, I actually probably agree. If you really sat down and you did an anonymous poll, I would say that you have all those things right. I would say the fourth one would be win. But once you win, especially like, you know, that World Series that we won in 03 where we all came up together.
Right.
Like we were young and it was just nobody thought we could win. We fire our pitching coach. We fire our manager halfway through the season. We're, I don't know, 10 games under 500. Front office thought we were underachieving. Was not the manager or the pitching coach. I think we were second in the league that year when we fired our pitching coach. We were second in the league in team ERA. But we had a couple guys get hurt, you know, so it's just – it wasn't their fault, but they ended up taking the fall for it.
We've obviously had stability in Kansas City here of late with Ned Yost as the manager. But early on, going through the trials and tribulations, there were a lot of people calling, fire Ned Yost, right? So you take all those calls, and we've gone back. Curtis, back at the station, does all the most of the heavy lifting on looking up the numbers. And so we'd go back and say, okay, in-season managerial firings, does it ever work? And the answer is no, except for your 03 Marlins team.
Yeah.
Right? That's the one thing that screws it up. Like, basically, you can say you should never fire your manager in season except your damn team.
Yeah.
Goes out and goes. Now, was it because Jack McKeon came in, or did you guys get a little bit healthy and just start playing better baseball, and so Jack McKeon was along for the ride?
Exactly. So, well, and Jack McKeon did a good job.
Sure.
I'm not knocking him. But we got Miguel Cabrera came up right after that. We got Dontrelle Willis came up right after that. I mean, and Dontrelle Willis, you know, That season was magical. I remember his second start, he beat Randy Johnson 1-0. He throws a complete game shutout. It was just the timing of everything. And, you know, did it maybe light a fire under our ass? Maybe a little bit.
Okay.
Just watching a great man like Jeff Torborg get fired. Maybe it did kind of. And, you know, it would have been great to, you know, for him to be a part of all that, because I mean he was like a dad to us. I mean, he really nurtured us. He was really good with young players and. You know, I miss him to this day.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're talking to Josh Beckett here. Is the culture different in a Boston, in a quote unquote baseball town, than down in Miami? Did that make you guys better because of the expectations, the community, and how important the Red Sox are to the fabric of Boston?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think anything compares. And they talk about New York, but there's a lot of stuff going on in New York. You go to Boston, the Red Sox are what's going on. And, you know, everybody's got a Red Sox hat. It's the greatest place in the world to win and the worst place to lose. And as Grady Little said, it's 162 one-game seasons.
Right.
That's how it is. So, yeah. But it is a great place.
It is a totally different mindset. Do you miss the game?
You know, the game got so hard on me at the end. I mean, I think I got up to, like, where I was throwing, like, 40-something percent curveballs. It's taking me – it would take me 4 hours to get ready for a two-hour start. You know, it's just like – and maybe go seven innings. It got tough. Was it
the matter of getting loose and getting going, or is there pain that the fans don't realize that you're going through?
Well,
to make
that happen? So my hip was messed up, right. So I really couldn't train in between starts the way I needed to. So it was hard to stay strong throughout a season because it would literally take me all 4 days for my hip to recover. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever had it. If you've ever had a bad hip, it just, it hurts your back.
Yeah.
It hurts your core. It just, it was, and like I said, it just stopped making sense. And I had already had thoracic outlet syndrome surgery. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at another 10 months, and I just decided, you know what? And I had a good season that year.
Yeah, you did.
And I had, like, I had under a 3 ERA. But, I mean, I know exactly when it happened. I was on second base. D. Gordon hit a little line drive over the shortstop head. I had to do the freeze back and forth thing, and I got to third base, and I told our third base coach, I was like, Bundy, I just messed my hip up bad. Sure enough, go get an MRI the next day. I'm on the DL. Never came back.
So should we always have a DH?
No. I like the National League style of baseball because it brings the brain in there. I mean,
right.
there's a lot, the manager has to think a lot more. The pitchers, too. I mean, because you know eventually you got that pitcher coming up. So now you're thinking, okay, I'm 3-1 to this guy. You know, this guy hits me well. He's a 7-hole hitter. All right, so how about this? All right, now I can throw the backdoor breaking ball and try to get him to roll over. If it's a ball, no big deal. He's on first base. Then I got 8, and then I got the pitcher coming up. So
right.
It just brings the thinking part of it in there.
All right, my last question before I give you a little ha-ha Final Four, how to finish things off, and that is the metrics of the game. Were you know, it's become so stat-driven now. How much did you pay attention to the metrics and even the scouting report? You know, Justin Verlander was quoted a couple of years, last year, I think it was, when he kind of had a bounce-back season. They're like, well, what's different? He's like, well, I'm really paying attention to the scouting reports. Yeah, I used to just go up there and blow guys away. Now I try to look at what it is they're doing. How much did you pay attention to the math of the game and or the scouting reports as part of what it is you did versus just I see the guy's swing, I see what he does, I see the holes, and I'm going to attack him?
I was always a hot cold guy. Like I wanted to know who in the lineup was hot, and then also I generally had a rapport with the guy, so I knew like, okay, well, this guy's pretty tough on me. You know, Jeter, you know, you make a great pitch on Jeter and he hits a line drive to right field. You know, he's just good. So I always wanted to know who was hot in the lineup. You know, probably over the last like 10 games, and then I would look at the box charts where it actually had their average inside. Each
okay.
one, and
yeah.
you kind of, you and most guys, there would be just this one spot. I think Mike Trout's the only one I ever looked at that was like, it was like 500, 800, 900, 1,000. It was crazy. So, and that was another reason why the game got so hard for me.
Right.
The game got young, and I was getting old, and I was beat up. It was tough. So I looked at those two things more than anything.
All right, time for our Final Four with Josh Beck, and it's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Win a 2017 truck of your choice during the Trucks and Bucks promotion. Go to kslottery.com for details. Be caller 8 and 10 right now, and you'll win those Kansas Lottery tickets. Josh, four quickies for you. What's your best golf score ever?
69.
Good Lord. Is it the touch gene? Zach Greinke once told me he has the touch gene. Like, as a pitcher, he goes, I can knock down free throws, I can putt, I can do whatever. Do you believe in the touch gene? Do you have that touch gene?
I think I do, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's just
that's like a good theory?
Yeah, I like it, even though Zach said it, yeah.
noted American philosopher, Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
All right, have you ever been in the water? Over here in Tahoe.
Yeah, I have. I was in the water yesterday in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, yeah. It's cold.
Oh, it's freezing.
Especially with that snow still melting down into it.
It is.
It's very cold right now. What's your favorite table game to play in the casinos?
I like craps if it's going good.
Yes.
You know, you can run out of money really fast if you get everything out there
Are you outside like pass line, come bets? You know, play six and eight, or
usually what I do is I'll play the pass line,
right?
And then I'll try to get two more numbers,
okay?
And then every once in a while, if no field numbers have hit, I'll play the field just as like a side bet.
Got
I try to stay away from all like the hard ways and
yeah.
You know, I feel like those are kind of sucker
that's
bets.
Good. But the Yo 11, I got a couple friends that
it's
are
just
crap
fun
dealers.
To say.
Yeah, they say they always come back to back. These are guys who sit and stare at the game on the line. Somebody throws an 11, fire out a Yo 11.
Nope.
So it's not going to hit every time. But just watch, and I've noticed that. I've actually made some. So there's a little fun
okay.
throw Yo 11
like
in there. Back-to-back. Yo's come back-to-back. So
right.
Be ready for that. And finally, who wins this tournament?
Man, it's hard to bet against Mulder, isn't it?
Well.
I like Fish, too. You know, as far as odds go.
Mulder's 3-1. Fish is 9-2.
My favorite odds, and I heard this, it may not even be true, is Mike Modano, 12-1. Is that correct?
Let me see. I'm looking here. No, it looks like 15-1.
Yeah, 15-1. Okay.
15-1. Wait a minute. I'm looking for Beckett.
It's probably not on there.
Have you? Oh, there you are. 50-1.
50-1.
I'll take any pitcher at 50-1. You guys have the touch, man. I'll take any pitcher at 50-1. Hey, Josh, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend out here.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Josh Beckett, one of the best pitchers of the last 25 years, and here at the American Century Championships in Lake Tahoe. We'll take a break. You're on the program.